It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. There's a sweet spirit here this morning. I like to be in the presence of the Lord, and I like to be around God's people. I like to go to church. I was thinking this morning about preaching and preaching in general. I like to preach. I do. I like to hear good preaching, too. And when you get around the Holy Spirit, it's a whole lot easier when God's moving. Now, it is Palm Sunday, but I have to preach what God lays on my heart. So I'm going to preach the message that God's given me this morning. I like to preach Easter messages and Christmas messages and Palm Sunday messages, but God has to give them to me first, or else I'll be not doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to read this morning Luke chapter number 4. We're going to read the first 15 verses. But I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I understand what the blood of Jesus is about. We want to try to help as many people as we can understand that. I was sitting there, Brother Mike, as you were talking about the thief on the cross, and the message, you know, it started just churning right there. You know, sometimes you get saved. I tell you, when you get saved, it's when the Holy Spirit convicts you and draws you to an altar. Lets you know that you are the one that needs a Savior. This man didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it. He didn't have a whole lot of time to, you know, get all of his theology correct. Sometimes people think they got to get their theology right, and they got to understand this and this and that and the other. I remember one time I was teaching Sunday school, and it was an adult class, and finally a couple came up to me after the class, and they said, you know, I've been in church, you know, most all my life. She said, I'm finally beginning to understand what it's about. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and lets you know you're lost, you just need to recognize you're lost. You need to recognize you need to get saved. Then you need to get in a good Sunday school class and stay faithful in a church. You know, I've had people talk to me about discipleship classes, that we need to have discipleship classes here. And here's the way I look at service in the church. We'll have anything y'all will support, okay? You know, and we try to do that at Hiram First Baptist Church. But I went on to tell him, I said, you know, it's hard to disciple people that it takes a search party to find. Y'all think about that just a minute, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I can have a discipleship class, but if I have one, I want disciples. This man was on that cross, and all he had was just a few minutes with Jesus. Oh, there's so much there. Got to move on. Luke chapter number 4, here's what we got this morning. I want to share with you what's on my heart, been on my heart all week. Here's what I want you to understand. The devil has a deal for you. The devil has a deal for you. And I want to read this scripture, and I want you to see it as it begins to roll out and play out. As Satan is here and he's speaking to Jesus Christ. Now this is almost very close to the very beginning of Christ's ministry. You know, when Jesus was born, he was born just like the Bible says. It was prophesied just like the Bible says. And he came into the world and he was there and he was born of a virgin and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And about the time he was 2 years old, a great tragic event happened when Herod sent and had all the children up to a certain age killed. Then you don't hear a lot until Jesus is 12 years old in the temple, and he's there and he's speaking. And he's speaking words to these people that are so astonishing that they're overwhelmed by the wisdom of this boy. Then you don't hear very much for a lot of years. And people say, well, what happened? I want to tell you, a lot of things happened. And the Bible tells us that if the books were written that contained all the things that Jesus done, perhaps the world would not hold them. He did a lot of things, but we come to the point that it's approximately AD 26, AD 27, till Jesus shows up. And the disciples are called to follow him, and he begins a ministry of about 3.5 years where he's very, very active, and all those things are written about in the Gospels. But at the beginning of this ministry, he goes there and John sees him and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he takes him and he's baptized. And the scripture says here as we begin reading, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now, I want us to understand before we read the rest of this, is he was God, but he was God and man. And he had to be in order to come to pay the sacrifice. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And for there to be an intercessor that would be able to stand between God and man and make intercession fully, he had to be God and man. And the scripture tells us over there in the book of Hebrews that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. That makes him a supreme and a worthy advocate, that he can stand before God as the intercessor, and God can look at us through Jesus, his son. And he honors every word he says. So here's Jesus, he's filled with the Spirit. Remember, he is God. He is God and man. He's approximately 30 years old. It says, "And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That particular scripture that he is referencing there, when he is says it is written, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. You can go over and read that where it talks about how the manna came, but God was teaching the people not to take the manna up every day, but to understand that they needed to trust God. So the verse was put together. Don't trust in the things of this world, but you trust in God. You don't take this manna and save it in your tent till tomorrow. That's why the verse was there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then in the fifth verse, the second temptation, "The devil taking him up to a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto them, All this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it." Now folks, listen to what the devil says. He said, you see all the kingdoms of the world. Let me tell you what's going on in the world today. They're fighting today for this right here. That's why Russia has invaded Ukraine. That's why all of those countries that used to be a part of the USSR are right now in panic that if Russia is successful overcoming Ukraine, they know that they will be next and they will be overrun and they have no ability to fight it. If you look at what's going on in the Middle East right now, what are they fighting over? I mean, we can talk about it all we want, but I tell you what it's about. It's about money, it's about wealth, it's about fame. Now, we know that and this is a separate subject, I'm going to touch it and come back to the scripture, but the world hates Israel, the world hates the people of God, and the world wants to destroy Israel. I'll tell you something, church, support Israel. God said, those that bless thee, I will bless. Those that curse thee, I will curse. Doesn't mean every decision they're ever going to make is right, because it's not. But they are the people of God, and we need to support them. Yeah. You know, the world today is wanting exactly what the devil has to offer, and we're going to get that. But here's what I want you to read. He said, the devil says this, "For that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it." Now, folks, there's evidence for that. We'll go read it in a minute. And then he says, "If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Now, this is the devil. Devil is a created being. He's created by God. He's probably the most powerful angel that God ever created. His name was Lucifer, which means light bearer. You go over to the book of Ezekiel and you look at the four corners of God and you look at who's not represented in the chain is the cold-blooded ones. In the garden, Satan was cursed and he went crawling upon his belly as cold-blooded animals. Satan is here and he has certain power for a certain period of time, and he sees Jesus in the weakest state that he would ever be, because he had to be obedient to become a man, to come to the earth, to be able to make intercession for all of us. But he was still God. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now the reference for that Jesus is speaking of is actually in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 13. And you can go over and read that exact verse. Then we get to the next temptation. And he, speaking of the devil, brought him, speaking of Jesus, to Jerusalem. And set him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now here's something I want you to read. I want you to understand this in your Bible. Now here it says, for it is written, and in the 10th and the 11th verse, this is not Jesus quoting the scripture. This is the devil quoting the scripture. And what I want you to understand, when you're dealing with the devil, he knows this book. And he might know it better than you know it. Because he's here, Jesus is here being tempted of the devil. And as the devil speaks to him, puts him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and he says to him, jump. Why would he say that? Because he knew who Jesus was. The scripture says, speaking of Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus had to take all the power, all the things that he had, and put them aside, not just to go to the cross. He did it for you and he did it for me. And what the devil wanted him to do, he was almost making a mockery, saying, if you're God, let's show everybody you're God. Why did you have to come and go into the lowly abode of a carpenter's house? He says, for it is written. This is the devil quoting scripture. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is the devil quoting scripture from Psalms chapter 91, verse 11 and 12. And then Jesus says, Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That scripture that Jesus is speaking from is in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. So there's absolute support and reference for the scripture, both that Jesus is quoting and that the devil is quoting here. It says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Or you could interpret that as for a little while. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went in the fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And I want to give you just a couple of things, and I'm going to try to share with you what's on my heart. But, you know, here's Jesus. He's at the beginning of the ministry. The Spirit of God had just lit on him like a dove. The voice of God came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God's power is on Jesus. His Spirit, big S. You know when the devil's going to come after you? When you start doing what God wants you to do. There's a lot of people out here, the devil don't worry too much about them. You know why? Because he's already got them. But here the devil, in all of his power, with everything that he had, he saw Jesus got, to see if he can stop him from the get-go. 40 days. You say, well, you can't live 40 days. You can live 40 days without bread. You cannot live 40 days without water. Said he was hungered, and he was. You know, I've heard a preacher preaching one time, and he said, you know, in our walk with God, to stay strong, understanding that the enemy is after us, he said, we need to never let ourselves get too hungry. Now, you know, used to when I was young, when I got hungry, I got hangry. You never let yourself get too hungry. Also, let me tell you something else. He said, you never let yourself get too lonely. And then he said, you don't let yourself get too angry. Now, you think about that for just a minute. So here's Jesus, and the devil has a deal for Jesus. And by the way, the devil has a deal for you. But let's kind of break this down for just a minute. The first temptation, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. He was in a fleshly body, and he felt the pain of hunger. I remember when I was younger, when I first started working, I was working a job. My mother would pack me a lunch. I'd have that thing eat by 9 o'clock. I tell you, I weighed about 135 or 40 pounds, but I could not get enough to eat. Sometimes it got to the point, and my boys talk to me about this now. They say, you know, Daddy, I don't have no money. I said, well, son, you can't major hanging out and eating out. You look at their checking account, and they spend more on food than we spend on rent. As a young man, Jesus would have been hungry. And he, God in the flesh, he came down and he limited himself because he wanted to give you something from him. He became sin so that we might be able to be what? To be his righteousness. But remember that Jesus was and he is the living word. Then you go to temptation number two. The devil takes him up to a high mountain, shows him all the things that the world and what the world has to offer. All the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. And the devil said, all power will I give you and the glory of this world will I give you. And then you ask, does he really have the power? The devil said, this was given unto me. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 3 and 4, the verses says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and if you're reading your Bible there, you'll notice that where it says the God of this world, that's not capitalized, that's a little g. It says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, what does it take for someone to be able to see beyond what the devil has to offer to see that there is a God? I want to do something, anything that I can, to get people not to take the devil's deal. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the reality is the devil is the God, little g, of this world. And he speaks to Jesus in the seventh verse, and he says, if you will worship me, all of this world, its glory, all of this will be yours. And Jesus, of course, his response again comes from the Word of God. But remember, I love the verses in the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus spoke to him in power because Jesus is the living Word. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something, folks, what I believe about Jesus. I believe that when he was there with the devil, he was hungry. So hungry that he was in pain. So hungry that his body, and what actually happens in starvation is your body actually turns on itself. You know, I went into a series of, not long ago I was trying to diet, and I tell you, the older you get, it's awful. It's hard. It's hard. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'd lost a few pounds, and here's what his response was to me. He said, "How long you been starving yourself?" And I just thought about it, and I thought, well, I'm not starving myself. But then I thought about it, and that's really what you're doing. Because when you don't have food or you can't eat, and Lord knows this is terrible when it happens, but a person that can't eat or can't take care of themselves, their body begins to turn on itself. The muscle tissue begins to break down. The stomach begins to be in pain. And as the stomach begins to shrink, the hunger pains cause you actually to hurt so bad sometimes you bend over. Now, folks, I believe after the period of time that Jesus had been fasting and he was there with the devil, he was in pain. I believe when Jesus went to the cross and they drove those spikes through his hands and his feet, he felt it. When they pressed that crown down around his head and it cut into his scalp, he felt it. When he was there on the whipping stump and they flogged him with the flagellum, he felt it. Well, here we are, and you wonder about temptation number two, and it's like, if you're God, if you're really God, why aren't all these people bowing down to you? Why aren't you being accepted by this world as king? And the devil was basically trying to portray to the devil, was portraying to Christ, you're not the king, I'm the king. Because all the power of the world has been given unto me. But folks, Jesus understood he had a greater purpose. And he said, it is written. You go to temptation number three. He brings him to Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple. Puts him up on the top of it, and he basically just says, jump. Prove you're God. Jump. He knew the scripture. The devil knows the scripture. He says, if you jump, the angels are going to catch you before you hit the ground. It's basically what he's saying. But Jesus again speaks to him, and he gives him the scripture. Now, I mentioned something here Monday night at Celebrate Recovery, and I want you to think about this for just a minute. If the devil told the truth, would more people come to God? Think about it a minute. If the devil told the truth, could you imagine the devil standing outside the liquor store as the dad is driving home and he pulls in, he's just got to have one more drink. And the devil is standing at the door of the liquor store and he stops him and he says, I just want to tell you the truth. All the temptation, all the things that have been coming against you, I want to tell you the truth. If you drink this liquor, you're going to go home. You're going to be angry. You're going to be rough on your family. Your wife's going to cry. Your little girl's going to be afraid of you. You're going to take the money that you need to buy food and formula for your family, and you're going to do this, and it's not the right thing to do. Would he stop? What about the person who wants the things of this world, that does nothing more than want what their neighbor's got, so they're willing to do anything they have to do to take it? It's going on all around the world today. If the devil were to say, this life's temporal. Everything you get here, everything you especially get with ill gain, you're going to remember it throughout eternity in eternal separation from God. You don't want to do that. What about the person who for the first time takes drugs and they are offered, and I have a friend and he's told me his story, and that it grieves my heart when I think about it, but he said he was on a job site, and he said, I was there working late on a Friday, and nobody wants to work late on Friday if you've worked every day all week, right? I've been there. I've done that. He said, I was working over there, and he said, I was down. He said, I didn't feel good. He said, I wanted to be home. I had to finish a job, and I looked over and there was a man sitting over on the tailgate of his truck. He was putting in a garage door and he was just kind of whistling and he's like he was on top of the world. And I just spoke to him and he said, "Man, I wish I had something to make me feel like you do." He said, "Well, come on over here. I got something for you." He said, I walked over to his tailgate, and this is the way the devil does today. The devil was already set up. He flipped back a napkin, and there was a piece of glass there, and he had those little lines. He said, "Take that straw and snort you one of those lines right there," and he said, "You'll feel like I feel." He said, "One time in my life, for the first time in my life," and this man was probably around late 30s or 40 years old at the time, he said, "I did that," he said, "but there was a problem." He said, "I found myself looking for this man every week. Until every week wasn't enough, and then it was every day, until every day wasn't enough, and then it's twice a day." And folks, if you ever take and get hooked on cocaine or meth, you'll realize that there's only one way for you to be satisfied, and that's when you're completely high all the time. Now, could you imagine if the devil told the truth, if the man's sitting there and he's smiling and the devil walks around and he says, "Stop." He said, "I want to tell you the truth. If you take this one time, what it's going to do to you." This is the true story. "One time, if you take this, what it's going to do is it's going to destroy everything that you have." This man was a Christian man. He was a part of my Sunday school class at a church that I was at one time. And he said, could you imagine if the devil told him, "You're going to lose your home." He lost his home. "You're going to lose that nice truck that you just got. You're going to lose it. You're going to lose your business. Your children are going to lose respect for you. And whether you believe it or not, you're going to get to the point that you will even be stealing money out of your kids' piggy bank to go and buy drugs." Not only this, but you're going to go from snorting a line to smoking a crack pipe. And when you like that crack pipe, now folks, I want to tell you something. This is a good-looking man, handsome guy. Could you imagine the devil telling him, not only are you going to go from snorting a line, but you're going to be smoking a crack pipe and all of your teeth are going to rot out. And by the time you're 55 years old, you're going to be in a wheelchair. If the devil told the truth, would it make people change? The reality of it is, the devil knows that he has but a short time. And in Matthew chapter number 8, verse 29 and 30, and if you read your Bible, you'll find there are places when the devil told the truth. Jesus went over there to the Gadarene demoniac, and he was possessed, and he commanded the devils come out of him. And what did the devil say? He said, "Art thou comest thou here to persecute us before the time?" The devil was telling the truth. The devil told the truth because the devil knew. He knew the scriptures. He knew what's written. And he also knows what his end is going to be. Do you know that the devil knows that he's going to be cast into the fiery pit, the furnace? And he wants to hurt God's people. He wants to destroy homes. He wants to tear people down. And he's told the truth and people wouldn't believe it. In James chapter 2, verse 19, the devil knew the scripture and he knows this verse. Now, at the time that this event happened with Jesus and the devil, this verse I'm about to read to you wasn't written yet. But he knows the scripture. It says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Did you get a hold of that? While the devil has the power, and we look at what's going on in the world today, and you can go over and read the Psalm of Asaph over there where he said, I looked at the world and the way it was prospering, and he said, "I was so troubled until I went into the house of the Lord, and then I understood their end." What's their end? The end of a person that follows Satan's separation from God is eternity in hell. And that's exactly where the devil's going. Now, he might seemingly have a little power, and if you look at things and things that are going on in the world today, you think, why is the devil running so rampant? I'll tell you why he's running rampant, because Jesus is coming soon. Everything's getting lined up for the return of Christ, and what Satan wants to do is take everybody down that he can. And if he can stop you as a Christian serving God, if he can break down your testimony, I want to tell you, he's more interested in hurting somebody in this church house this morning than he is selling gallons of liquor down here at the liquor store. So as he's here tempting Christ, and then he said, the devil departed from him for a season. Now, folks, Jesus Christ came into the world for a purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose. And Jesus did not take the devil's deal. And I want to read a verse over here in 1 John in just a minute, but I want you to look at these things. Jesus did not choose to satisfy his flesh. You can say, well, he's hungry. Just because you're hungry don't mean you have to take a meal from the devil. Okay? He did not choose to take the world with all its glory. I want what the world has. I want fame. I want fortune. You know, I love to hear testimonies of people who are blessed and they get to go to a place they never thought they'd go. And then they say, because of my convictions, I returned and I'm going to live my life serving God. It's not about how much money I make. It's not about how much fame I have. I'm not going to compromise my values for the things that are in this world. And then he did not choose the pride of life. Folks, I want to tell you what God hates. What kind of sin does God hate? It says over here in the book of Proverbs, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The very first one is a proud look. Can I tell you, the more God blesses you, the better you can sing. When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you like what you see, thank God. I mean, you didn't really have a whole lot to do with it. If you're smart and you can remember things, thank God. You're one blood vessel away from remembering nothing. He did not choose the pride of life, but the scripture says he departed from him for a season. What does that mean? He came back. Now, how about you as a Christian? Do you know that you come to church and you try to get right with God, sometimes even rededicate your life with God, and you say, well, I'm not going to drink anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to carouse anymore, I'm not going to hang around with these people anymore, and you're on, you know, it's kind of like you're in a state of excitement. It's like when our kids go to camp and they come back and they've had revival. I like it. But you got to be careful. Because that excitement or that high time, it'll pass. And what the devil's doing is he's looking for an opportunity to come back. Now, what about you? What about me? You know, the devil, he came and he offered Jesus a deal. But he's coming to people every day offering them a deal. Offering you a deal, offering me a deal. And sometimes people do take the devil's deal. You know, when I think about the devil and people say, well, some people say, well, I don't know if I believe in the devil. Well, there's a devil. The Bible makes it pretty clear. Then there's people that say they believe in the devil, but they don't believe in God. Where do you think the devil came from? Some people, they say, well, you know, I'd never follow the devil. I'd never worship the devil. There are people who actually do. I mentioned when I was in Bible, it was actually in secular college before I went to Bible college, but I was in a class where a young girl got up and gave a presentation in public speaking on Wiccan. Become so popular that so many young girls are getting involved with Wiccan. They think it's exciting, they think it's funny, they think it's cool to basically declare themselves as witches. It's very easy to find out about this if you want to look into it. You know, I'd never worship the devil. You see, I'd never bow to the goat demon. I'd never bow to Dagon or Baal, as is mentioned in the Old Testament. But there are some that do. I've done a lot of study about some of these things, and there's a lot of evidence of it, that Satan sometimes seems to make deals. You know, if you look at Hollywood, they believe it. They'll talk about more of how evil is glamorized than the devil's deals are glamorized. There's all kind of movies been made about it. You say, well, I'd never do that. I'd never make a deal with the devil. But the truth is, here's right where we're at. The answer is no. I'd never follow the devil. I'd never worship the devil. I'd never do any of those things. But if you take this world and forget God, that's still what you're doing. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39 says this, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 25, and you find these verses repeated in Mark chapter 8, Luke chapter 9, but it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life for my sake will find it. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 33, it says, for whosoever will seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. You see, what the Bible teaches and what Jesus taught is that you find your life by losing your life in surrender to Jesus. The devil's deal is don't worry about heaven, don't worry about the future. Live now, live for today. There is none of that. There is no heaven. There is no heaven or hell. There is no tomorrow. So he made a bumper sticker that said, he who dies with the most toys wins. But that's not true. You know, he who dies with the most toys leaves more for the ones left behind to clean up. The devil's deal is you take the world, but you lose your own soul. And that's exactly what the devil wants for people. You know, God has a plan. He wants to have every person in eternity in heaven with them. That's why the scripture says, for as many shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in Mark chapter number 8, in verse number 36, it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? You know, when I look at life, and sometimes I'm off with a lot of my friends and friends here at the church, most of them are older than me. And I talk about being old, and they say, oh, you're just a kid. And I'm thinking, Lord, if it's going to get worse, I don't know if I want to be around for it. Then we talk about miles, and I say, I'm like a truck with a, you know, you ever drove a truck 100,000 miles a year? It don't last till you get it paid for. Well, we talk about life, and it just seems like life is going by so fast. My children have grown up. I can remember when I first got married to my wife, and we were young. And I remember at work one day, I was talking to them, and I thought, you know, if I just had $10,000, I'd buy a house, we'd have a baby. I remember having that conversation. Folks, we bought a house. Time has gone by. I've painted it and painted it and painted it and painted it again. The kids have grown up, move away. Now I have grandkids. The boys have grown up and got a life of their own. And I look at life and I say, where'd it go? You know, when you make a deal with the devil, it's going to go. And it's going to go fast, and you're going to turn around, and you're going to wonder, where'd it go? And the devil's over there, ready for collection. He's ready for collection for a person that's not lived for God, that's given up everything that God has for the things of this world. You know what the collection is? It's you in eternity with him. Where's he going? The Bible says he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, into the bottomless pit for eternity, and all of God's people are going to be in heaven with him. Because you and I weren't made for this world, we were made for that. Amen. And this is just temporary. So how does the devil do these things? He puts a pull on people. You know, I like to fish, and I got a tackle box. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you, I got so many tackle boxes, I can't put them all in the boat. So that when I go fishing, I have to decide, am I going after bass? Am I going after crappie or crappie, depending on what you want to call it? Am I going after catfish? Am I going after brim? And I'll go over, depending on what I'm fishing for, and I'll select the tackle, I'll select the rod, I'll select the line size, and I'll outfit the boat. And the last time me and Luke went out, I said, son, I believe we picked the wrong stuff. The devil's got a tackle box. And the scripture says he departed from Jesus for a while, but he did come back. And what he does is he puts something in front of you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, the scripture says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's one, that's two, that's three. And if you look at what's mentioned here in John, 1 John chapter 2, you can go right back and line them up with those things that were thrown at Jesus. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away. Goes back to what I was saying. We're going to turn around, and the reality of it is our life here is going to be over. And the only thing that's really going to matter is not what we were able to accomplish, who knew our name, how much we had, but what we did for the Lord. It says, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Jesus knew when he was there with the devil, there was something that abideth forever. And for a short period of time, hey, the devil probably could have, and he could have based on what the Word of God says. He could have given him all those things. And that's where the world's at today. They're taking the devil's deal, and they're forgetting the fact that there's an eternity in front of them. So what's the devil offering you? What pull is he putting on you? Remember, the devil is a liar. There's a song, an old Southern gospel song that had this line. It said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. You know, there's some people that don't want nothing to do with God. I never ever can possibly understand why anybody ever anywhere would say that they're following the devil and say it on purpose. Created being destined for eternity in hell. He's a liar. He's told the truth occasionally because he was in the presence of God. And he was afraid when he was there. Demons at Gadarene. They said, are you come to persecute us before the time? Do you believe in God? Are you willing to allow God to be the Lord of your life and not take the devil's deal, knowing that he's going to come back and he's going to offer you more and he's going to offer you more? And sometimes I want to tell y'all, folks, my heart breaks when I hear the stories that come to us in ministry where people are asking for prayer, and I'm seeing homes broken up where somebody took the devil's deal. Can I tell you, the devil's got a deal for you, and it may be at work. It may be something that the devil puts in front of you. It may be something that the devil offers you. And I want to tell you something, young people. The best way to not ever get on drugs is never take them. You know, I stand here before you today, and I am, you know, really close to the big 6-0. But I'll tell you, I'm scared to death to ever have any of those drugs in my body. Because I've seen what the devil's deal's done in people's lives. Now here's the real deal, folks, and we're going to ask them to get ready with a song in just a minute. Here's the real deal. This is the real deal. Serve the devil now. Basically, simply love the world and forget God. Then you can spend eternity at the end of your life with the devil, separated from God. That's the real deal. Or you can serve the Lord now, which means lose your life and find His, and you can spend eternity in heaven with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as a Christian, I'll tell you, the best thing there is to have in life is a right relationship with God. I am not one of those that's going to get up here and tell you how awful and how hard it is to be a Christian. It's not that way for me. I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. Do I fight the devil? Yes, I do. You know why I fight him? Because of me. I'm the biggest problem I have. You know, sometimes people talk about the devil this, the devil that. Folks, I have to overcome my flesh, then the world, before the devil's ever going to come around. The problem's me. I don't want to serve the devil. I don't want what the world's got. I don't want the things out there in this world. I want to serve God. I love my wife. I want to love my wife. I love my kids. And I love all of y'all. I want to be able to see this neighborhood come to the Lord. And I want to feel more of that Holy Spirit that's been poured out on us this morning. I don't want what the devil's got. But do you know that he hates me because of it? And if you feel that way, he hates you because of it. And he's going to do everything that you can. And I want to tell you, more than one time I've seen people that at one time in their life serve God, love God. But somewhere along the line, the devil saw a weak moment. And he offered them a deal. I've seen homes broken up that way. I've seen people lose their life. I've seen people lose their testimony because they took the devil's deal. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I tell you, I don't know how to express it anymore. But on the authority of the Word of God, God loves you, He cares for you, He wants a relationship with you, and He has the best plan for your life that you could ever possibly have. But in this world today, this world living in the last times, the devil's got a deal. He's making that deal to people, and it seems like so many people are following it, but you don't have to, because everything that Satan has, and I believe this with all my heart, is a counterfeit for something better that God wants you to have. And the reason that people are out there and they're pulled by it is they've never experienced the fullness of what it means to walk in a right relationship with God. Because inside, I believe, of every person that walks on this earth, there is a God-shaped hole. And what the devil tries to do is he just keeps trying to ram things in there to satisfy, but you'll never be fully satisfied until you're in a right relationship with God. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. My heart's desire and prayer this morning is that God spoke to you about anything that you will talk to Him. Now here's why this is important. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter number 4 that we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. And here's what it says. It says, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then it says, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help. Mercy, and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. What does that mean? Jesus took on everything the devil has to offer, and he withstood him. So that if you come down and you pray and you ask God for help, he has the understanding, the power, the authority to help you. But you got to come. Go ahead and sing.